Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Paul with you. Jordan is off. She reached her breaking point earlier this week. She said, I'm out of here. I cannot take this. I happened to mention that another storm was on the way, and she stormed out, and next thing I know, she bought a ticket. She has a friend in San Juan, and that's where she's hanging out for a few days with handsome husband, with Mark. So good on her, and it's good to have friends in warm places. Write that down. All right. Speaking of friends, it was interesting to me how much Minnesota made national news this week with the controversy ignited by Representative Ilhan Omar, the charges of anti-Semitism, the anti-hate resolution that did, in fact, finally get passed. And one of the highlights, and I quote, whether from the political right, center, or left, bigotry, discrimination, oppression, racism, imputations of dual loyalty threaten American democracy and have no place in American political discourse. This was a 7-page resolution, and it passed by a vote of 407-23. All 8 members of Minnesota's House delegation, including Representative Omar, voted in favor. But again, the fallout, the shockwaves that sort of emanated from this have many people asking questions about unity within the Democratic Party at a time when Democrats should be closing ranks, looking ahead to 2020, the presidential election. There seems to be a growing schism, especially among the incoming freshman class of representatives and more established, perhaps more moderate Democrats, whether it comes to the Green New Deal or even passing a resolution against anti-Semitism. So trying to get the lay of the land here and see if maybe we're making too big a deal out of this. And so we invited Dr. David Schultz to come on the show today. He's a professor of political science at Hamline. Dr. Schultz, good to have you back, sir.
Thank you for having me again on this wonderful day. It's a beautiful day outside.
It was nice out there. Wasn't it blue sky, 34? I mean, come on. Felt like March.
It did. It felt great.
And nice to talk about something other than politics for a time. But, we have to talk about this. And I'm just curious, am I hallucinating? Am I imagining making too much of what's happening right now within the Democratic Party? It sure seems like there are some fault lines. And Representative Omar has made those fault lines perhaps a little more visible to all.
Yeah, no, I think you're exactly on score. There's two ways I can approach this. First, to say, I think there are two parties in the United States, the Trump Party and then those people who are against Trump. And a lot of those people who are against Trump are all within the Democratic Party. But then within the Democratic Party, after the last election, we've got, I'd say, various coalitions that hold together the Democratic Party. We have, for example, people of color, young people. We've got the urban liberals. We have what I'm going to call now the emerging coalition of suburban women. And each of these coalitions has different interests, and they're also divided by, let us say, by age, by income, and a whole bunch of different factors. And your intuition is exactly on score. What's happening here is we're seeing several of the different divisions within the Democratic Party coming into conflict, much in the same way that, 3 years ago, Clinton versus, let us say, Sanders revealed, one division. Now I think the Democratic Party has multiple cleavages or coalitions, and it's trying to knit them together. And Omar's comments are hitting at that fracture point.
So, Dr. Schultz, what does this mean? And let's take Senator Klobuchar as an example here, running for president. How do you please all the people all the time and knit together this patchwork of different constituents, this spectrum, and everybody has different priorities? How on earth can you get everybody kind of pulling in the same direction if you have this mottled crew of constituencies that doesn't seem to be very united right now?
Well, you're absolutely correct. This is hard. And in 2018, it was relatively easy because I think the motivating force was dislike for Trump, and the most powerful, as I keep saying, the most powerful voter in America, suburban women, especially in more educated or fluent districts, came out in very large percentages to vote. And because the geography was about congressional districts, all of that came together very effectively for the Democrats. But going into 2020, somebody like Klobuchar, who is running as more of a centrist at a time when the party is also, lots of it's moving a little bit more towards, let's say, the left, but maybe moving in a couple of different directions, this is a challenge for her. And the challenge for the Democrats could very well be that it's a very long primary caucus process next year, that we see a bunch of people keep winning, what, maybe 10 or 15%. They go to a national convention, and it's, for those of us who were alive back then, it's reminiscent of 1968, when it's a very, very contentious convention, and the Democrats didn't come out of it united, and this works to the advantage of Donald Trump in 2020. And that may be his best advantage going on right now, is that even though his approval ratings are not high, the ability of the Democrats to find a common narrative, common message, is hard right now.
I want to get your reaction to something I read in Politico. Tim Alberta here in Minneapolis wrote, "The Democrats' Dilemma. Despite the cautionary tale offered by years of vicious Republican infighting, Democrats are dangerously close to entering into their own fratricidal conflict. On matters of both style and substance, the fractures within this freshman class are indicative of the broader divisions in a party long overdue for an ideological reckoning." And Omar, Representative Omar, isn't shying away from it. Quote, "I'm certainly not looking to be comfortable, and I don't want everyone necessarily to feel comfortable around me," she told Mr. Alberta at Politico, a mischievous smile tugging at her lips. Quote, "I think really the most exciting things happen when people are extremely uncomfortable." Representative Dean Phillips, a friendly soul and consensus builder by nature, is among those feeling uncomfortable amid a discussion of Omar and Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. He complained, "Suddenly an entire party is being branded by the perspectives of two of its members who represent 1% of the caucus." So are the Democrats distracting themselves to death at a time when they need to be unifying?
The answer is yes and no, depending on your perspective. Yes, if you are, let us say, that perhaps that other 98%, or perhaps if you are more the establishment Democrats and are seeing this as a challenge in terms of a united front in 2020. If you are an Alexander Cortez, or if you are an Omar, you view this as you pointed out here, an overdue correction for the party. You know, I sometimes say to my students, think about Minnesota when Hubert Humphrey in 1944 merged the Democratic Party with the Farmer Labor Party and brought together this, you know, coalition with three legs of a stool. Now ask yourself in 2019, how much of the DFL is left? How many farmers and how much labor is left? And that's the point that I'm getting at, is that the Democratic Party is really transformed. It's more of a, it's becoming more of a suburban party. It's becoming a party that has, again, urban liberals in it. And it's hard to find what holds it together or somebody who can hold it together. And in many ways, that political piece pointed out that with Phillips and Omar, you know, right next to one another, they represent two different faces of the Democratic Party, an urban party and a suburban party going in very, very different directions.
OK, Okay, last question, Dr. Schultz, and thank you for hanging in there. I'm sick of trying to predict the future. I'd like you to predict the future. What do you think ultimately in your heart of hearts will happen? Are the Democrats going to be able to sort of write this off as a growing pain and reinvent the party platform? What is going to propel the party forward and give them even a fighting chance against the president in 2020?
Okay. Longer term, the party is going to remake itself as baby boomers and so forth and older people exit the party and are replaced by others. But shorter term, right now, I would not be betting against Donald Trump. His coalition is more unified. It's still highly motivated. It's well defined. And I think that is something boding well for him. Now, the Democrats, again, do have the advantage in terms of perhaps Congress at this point, but I could see a scenario emerging that the Democrats can't find that common coalition. They remain divided, and some voters stay home. Or at the end of the day, they elect somebody as president, but who really has nothing more than what? I'm against Donald Trump, but not a narrative about what to do.
Oh, it's going to be an interesting 18 months, isn't it?
It's going to be a long 18 months, too, isn't it?
Get tired thinking about it. Dr. David Schultz, thank you for your time and perspective, sir, and really appreciate your help with this.
No problem, and stay dry. Talk to you soon.
You bet. Dr. Schultz, a professor of political science at Hamline. Did you hear what happened? Boy, this just boggles the imagination. CARE 11 reporter Lou Ragus sent a letter to Jake Patterson, who abducted Jamie Kloss. Didn't expect a letter back, but he got a letter back from Jake Patterson. And he was on with Corey Heppala this morning. And if you missed it, we have a couple of highlights. You need to stick around and hear this for yourself. That's next. A bit of a head-scratcher, but... sometimes the truth comes out in strange ways. Jake Patterson, charged with kidnapping 13-year-old Jamie Kloss from her home in Barron, Wisconsin, killing her parents, wrote in a letter to CARE 11 reporter Lou Ragus that he has huge amounts of remorse for the crimes he committed and intends to plead guilty at his next court date scheduled for March 27th. Apparently, CARE reported yesterday that Lou Ragus wrote Patterson two letters at the Polk County Jail, where he's been held since mid-January. And kudos to Corey Heppala for having Lou Ragus on the air this morning to give a firsthand account of this strange and sordid tale. Question number one, how on earth did you get Mr. Patterson to write you back?
So when he was arrested in January and we learned, you know, all those horrible details of what happened, there still were several questions that remained outstanding. And so once I figured out where he was being held in jail, I sent a letter with five questions on it, very straightforward. About a month passed after that and he hadn't responded to that letter. So I basically just sent a second letter adding on six additional questions to the original letter, and then that's what he responded to. And on his letter back to me, he numbered all his answers corresponding with the questions I had asked.
Okay, and then the next logical question that Corey Heppala had for Lou Ragus of CARE 11, basically, what stood out most in Jake Patterson's letter?
The main thing is that he, you know, I asked, what's your plan now? Are you going to plead guilty or are you going to take this all the way to trial? Because a lot of people were concerned that Jamie Kloss might be forced to testify at trial and relive everything, you know. Mm-hmm. And his answer was that he plans to plead guilty. And so, you know, take that for what it's worth. It's his word. He says that he's going to plead guilty on March 27th at his next court hearing. And that comes as a surprise because, you know, procedurally, even if he would plead guilty, it normally would come later on in the case. It wouldn't come at the arraignment, which is this next hearing that's coming up.
And police apparently have considerable evidence that this was a premeditated crime. When the question arose, was this premeditated? Jake Patterson said, no, the crime was not planned. It was spontaneous. Here's what he had to say with Corey Heppala.
In his answer, he really kind of tried to set himself apart from people like that and claim that he did it on impulse, which would, you know, kind of contradict what we've heard from police, which, you know, include details such as him staking out the house on a couple different occasions before finally coming back and doing it on the one night. And so, you know, that's another one of those things where you have to take it for what it's worth. I think we had a criminal profiler on or a psychologist on Care 11 last night as well, who didn't really believe that part because it seems like it had to be planned out.
And it just gets stranger and stranger. On being asked about why Patterson chose to kidnap Jamie Kloss, he framed the situation as complicated and not black and white. And again, he said this was mostly on impulse. I don't think like a serial killer. His words. Then the question came up. Apparently, he wrote on the back of the letter that reporter, Care 11 reporter Lou Ragus received. This on the back of the letter, it said, quote, I'm so sorry, Jamie.
Yeah, and it's another one of those things that brings up contradictions because it's almost seemed like infantile, like a child, like you said, in these bubble letters, and it's like a elementary school love note. And it's really creepy, and that was the most chilling part of the letter.
Care 11 reported that Jake Patterson claimed he'd never confided in anyone about his crimes and swore his family was unaware. Nobody knew, he wrote. My dad only came on Saturdays, the same time every day. It was a routine. Jamie hides on Saturday. My family respects privacy, so no one even went in my room. And Patterson told Care 11 that he never returned to Barron after breaking into the Kloss home on October the 15th. The final question that Corey Heppala had this morning of Lou Ragus, you know what? Patterson's lawyers can't be thrilled client sending a letter to a Twin Cities reporter.
Yeah, and it's another one of those things that brings up contradictions because it almost seemed like infantile.
Sorry, let me get the right sound.
Yeah, he has the public defender's office, which, you know, that's their job is to represent people that can't afford a private attorney. But they're not, they're like the top guys in the state of Wisconsin in that office. So they're used to these kind of high profile cases. You know, and I can't imagine they're not happy that this letter came. I can tell you that.
Sure. Just head scratching, head shaking. Hard to comprehend. Asked whether he has any remorse or regrets for his actions, Jake Patterson replied in this letter, huge amounts. I can't believe I did this. No one will believe or can even imagine how sorry I am for hurting Jamie this much. Can't express it. Dan Cook, producer extraordinaire, your reaction to this?
Well, look, this whole thing is a tragedy. The whole thing.
Yeah. No right? question.
It's a tragedy, primarily for Jamie. And if he's serious about pleading guilty, and I don't necessarily take him at his word for obvious reasons, if he's serious about pleading guilty to spare Jamie a trial, that's a good thing for Jamie. He gets zero credit for that because we wouldn't be here at all if it wasn't for his actions. So I give him no credit whatsoever for that. But if that's true, if that's what he's going to do, then that's a good thing for Jamie and good on her. It seems very clear that this young man is troubled and lives in some sort of alternate perspective of reality that I'm not particularly familiar with. And I don't know if that mitigates anything. I don't know if that plays into a potential sentence or what. But it's, again, I think the biggest thing is it's tragedy all around, and thank God she's safe.
Amen to that. And I agree with everything you just said. I mean, he's obviously delusional.
He's just troubled. I mean, he's very, very troubled. And I don't know where that comes from or why that is. But he clearly sees some sort of victimization in him, you know, in himself for this. And is trying to, in some weird way, be flippant about it. You know, that it was just so stupid. Well, yeah. but it was also extraordinarily dangerous and potentially lifelong damaging for a young woman. It's more than just stupid, and I'm not sure why he doesn't see that or what's going on.
My second reaction after the initial reaction of horror for Jamie and what she went through and her family, her parents, unspeakable, unimaginable. None of us can really put ourselves in that position and imagine what this young woman has gone through. My second reaction, Dan Cook, for better or worse, was, where was the system? Why didn't we do a better job of evaluating the fact that he obviously has a mental illness? One of our listeners says, I do feel sorry for Patterson as he is obviously mentally ill. And so...
Yeah, and I do, and I think, you know, there it is possible to feel some form of sympathy for him without it somehow denigrating the sympathy that you feel for Jamie Kloss. Obviously, she's the victim here.
He's a troubled kid.
Right, but this kid has just destroyed his life.
Yes.
And it's possible to feel some form of sympathy for that as well. But yeah, it'll be fascinating to know if we find out at some point his background or what was going on in his life such that it led him to this point. But clearly, you know, the focus right now should be on her and her well-being.
Absolutely. All right, let's wrap this up. And I do want to remind you that it's Friday and the sun was out. And there, if you squinted, you could almost imagine that it's spring out there for a time this afternoon. It felt pretty good. 34 degrees, blue sky, temperatures close to average. What are you happy about? There's so much to be happy about. What's your happy? What's making you happy? We want to hear from you with a happy hour, 651-989-9226. We hear from you in the happy hour next on CCO.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Paul here. I think I know what Jordan is happy about. I think the high today in San Juan was 84. A lot of humidity, high humidity. I'm sure she's thrilled. I have not heard word one from Jordana since she got down to Puerto Rico. So anyway, she's down there with a handsome husband, hanging out with Mark, thawing out, enjoying the good life, probably drinking a lot of umbrella drinks. By the way, 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226. Call us. What are you happy about? Or text us, 81807. Pam is in her car. Pam, what you happy about?
I am so happy that Greenway won today. I'm always happy when the boys from up north, where I'm from, come down and play good hockey.
They sure did. They got it done, didn't they? That was a very, very exciting game.
Yep. Love Minnesota State High School boys hockey. It's just fantastic.
It's one of the things that makes this a special place to hang out. Yes, we love our hockey. And Pamela, you have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you very much.
For those that missed it, Greenway scored with about a minute left in the third period to tie the game and then scored very early in overtime to win. And it was a dramatic. It's the kind of finish you love seeing at the high school hockey. As much as it breaks the other kids' hearts to lose a game that way.
But the exuberance.
Oh, man, it's something.
The exuberance on the faces of the Greenway players, I mean, they were just giddy. So it's cool to see that euphoria, you know, when you fight and fight and fight and you prevail. And that game could not have been any closer. And kudos to Matamidi for hanging in there. Jerry Peterson, you were happy that it was a quiet rush hour, but I know that's not the only thing you're happy about.
No, I'm actually happy for all the snow lovers out there that finally have a chance to go out and do all the things that they've been wanting to do for the last 6 years. I mean, I saw a squadron of snowmobiles today on my way into work coming out of Monticello. So it was good to see people out and having fun and enjoying and embracing the thing that everybody else is whining about.
There you go. Amen, brother.
Sorry, Dan.
Can't please all the people all the time.
I get that there are people out there that love that stuff, and God bless them, that's fantastic. I'm going to be the one that's whining about the snow because I'm sick of driving in it. That's just me.
We can all live.
It's a really big world.
But the resort owners have got to be happy. I know McQuaid's on Facebook is talking about these are the best trails we've had in years. and they do a lot of rental stuff. Run Amok out in Wisconsin. They're doing a lot of business out there, too. So very good for them because they've been kind of struggling these last few years.
Well, and more winters than not, and ask anybody in the metro with a snowmobile, more winters than not. We just don't get it here in the metro. I can't tell you the number of times. Yeah, snow north and west of the Twin Cities. Here we get a mix or rain or whatever. We get ripped off. So you're right. I'm happy for snow lovers. I'm also happy we seem to be turning the page here and moving into a somewhat more spring-like pattern. Next week, some low 40s, some rain in the forecast, and hopefully it'll be a nice slow-motion meltdown. God, I hope so.
Okay.
Thank you, JP.
Yeah.
Thanks, Jerry. Donna, happy Friday. What are you happy about?
I'm happy because I got a raise today.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Woo-hoo.
Good for you. Dinner for everybody then?
You can't complain about extra money in the pocket.
Let's go to White Castle.
Was it a surprise, Donna?
Kind of out of the blue. I mean, you know, it's a yearly thing, but you never know when it's going to come through. And you never know how much or how little, so I'm thankful for it.
Amen. Well, good for you.
Yeah.
Can you say, tell us, I know you're not going to tell us where you work, but can you? What do you do? What's your job?
I'm an audiologist, and I work for a hearing aid company that's located out on the East Coast, so I work from home.
Oh, nice. Is that, do you like working at home? You don't go stir crazy working at home?
Some days. Some days it's awful. And some days you don't get so involved with all the politics, so that's awesome. So I don't have to, you know, so-and-so is upset with this other person, and you just
right.
kind of hunker down, keep your head down, and it's all good.
And you have a great commute, right, from the bedroom to to your study? And
yep, it's, you know, and the dress code is really casual.
Yeah, that's sounding pretty good. And you can have a glass of red wine whenever you want.
Well, within reason, you know, you got to answer the phone and talk to the customers. But other than that, it's very nice.
Well, good for you, Donna. Congratulations. Well deserved. And hope you have a great year.
Thanks. You guys have a good weekend.
Thank you, madam. 651-989-9226. What are you happy about? 651-989-9226. On the text line, my. I don't know if I can read this.
If you don't know, then you can't.
My husband and I are heading to the cabin to get a fire going.
Oh, boy.
Hunker down and, hey, maybe get naked.
Oh, so they got a sauna.
Can I say that?
They got a sauna.
Well, you just did, so.
Well,
worse has been said. I'll just leave it at that.
Happy that the Wild beat the Lightning last night. Yes.
That was something else.
The Wild looking good.
Lightning, by far the best team in the NHL this season, and the Wild shut them out. Whatever Paul Fenton did at the trade deadline, it's working.
They've suddenly it's
red hot.
It's clicked. God. Happy for amazing family, good health. Another listener says, my kids are coming to visit for the weekend. Built a huge luge slide to play outside. Love
good.
Minnesota. Isn't that
Embrace
cool?
it.
Have a luge in your backyard. You can't do that in New Jersey.
No, you can't.
Or Atlanta or L.A. Yeah, we can go lugeing. That's very cool. Another person said, hey, we're on our way to South Dakota to see our granddaughters. Oh, man, I cannot wait to have grandkids. Nothing that I'm aware of yet. Are you? You're not a grandfather yet, are you, JP?
No.
Nothing in the works, Paul? You're sure? I mean, have you talked to the boys lately?
I would hope they would have. Well, our boys might tell us like 2 or 3 years after the child is born. Oh, yeah, by the way, you have a grandkid. Sorry.
He's forgot. Shaving now.
He's shaving. Dan Cook, I know one thing you're happy about, El Daniel.
It's the thing. It's the only thing.
Is that the only
That's
thing
the only
you're happy
thing.
About
it's
going
the only
to Arizona?
Way that I'm not freaking out about this weekend is that I know on Tuesday I'm on a plane headed to the Southwest. So I'll be gone for a week. I hope you guys have a really good time. I will not be thinking about you while I'm down there.
You won't be calling
it.
No. I'll be at ball games.
And your happy place is at the ball field.
At the ballpark, yep.
And you are a student of the game. I mean, you really pay attention.
I've actually filled out scorecards for spring training games. That's how deep the sickness is with me.
And what is the joy for you? I mean, when it's played well?
It's not even so much that it's played well. The joy of spring training is that you're outside and it's warm when you're not used to it being warm after right. this dreadful winter. And it's baseball. And there's a pace to it and there's a structure to it. And it's just, you just get to bask in it.
You and there's something about a hot dog at a ball game that is just, I don't even know how you explain it.
Oh, yeah.
You're just like, oh, wow, this is right.
No, I would argue that the perfect food, pizza is probably the perfect food, but a close number two and maybe a tie would be a hot dog and a cold beer with the sun out and a ball game. Amen to that. One of our listeners says, I'm happy that Congress has declared that they hate. It's a start. You're not going to touch that, are you, Jerry? I don't blame you.
I mean, there's. You I feel like your own punchline, right?
I feel like we're watching a bunch of kids who just can't get along and just can't figure it out.
And what's your point?
I have no idea.
They make the weather people look good.
I just read this statement here. I don't.
It's hard to do. Phil, in your car, what the heck are you happy about, sir?
Hey, am I on?
Yes, you're on, sir.
Well, let's just say this. I just got my driver's license back from a 6-month deal. I'm heading up to the cabin. I'm going to do some snowmobiling.
Good for you. And the conditions are about as good as they've been in a long time, huh?
They're really phenomenal. So, hey, thanks for putting me on. Well,
the vacation is looking better and better. Ginny, you're in your car. What are you happy about?
Hi, I love my job.
You love your job. What do you do?
I actually work for a local PBS station, Pioneer Public Television in Granite Falls, Minnesota.
I'm aware of Pioneer, and we love Pioneer. You guys do an amazing job.
Oh, it's so much fun. I get to drive around, talk to people about how important Pioneer Public Television is, and get to listen to everybody's stories.
Well, Jenny, thank you for what you do. Thank you for public television, and appreciate you calling in. Happy Friday. Tom, you get to wrap things up. What are you happy about, sir?
My wife and I are taking off tomorrow before the storm, and we're driving to Nashville because Pamela McNeil from the Twin Cities area here has a CD release party on Thursday the 14th at the City Winery in Nashville. So that's what I'm happy about.
Boy, that's a good place to hang out. Are you going to go down, what is it, Broadway? That's where everybody hangs out and drinks too much?
I think it's over the whole city.
The whole city, okay. Yeah, I need to spend some time in Nashville. I've heard nothing but good things about that town. Well, have fun and safe travels, and happy Friday to everybody. It is now about 5:49, Wicks and Jewelers time. If you're looking to sell your Rolex or other high-end timepiece, turn to the trusted experts at Wicks and Jewelers, just off 35W in Bloomington. Paul here. Thank you for hanging in there, and be careful this weekend. If you're out and about Saturday night, Sunday morning, again, we've seen a litany of crazy storms the past 6 or 7 weeks. It's been an active pattern, putting it mildly. So never tell a Minnesotan not to drive, not to travel.
That's very political of you to spin it that way. Active pattern.
It's been an active pattern.
It's been hellish. We can just say
it's been a meteorological gong show.
There you go. Okay? I like that one better.
Yeah. It's been a carnival of nightmare and death.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
Now you're talking.
Stephen King. Look, a lot of people were praying for snow. Certainly a lot of kids and kids with snowmobiles. Back in January, I remember brown ground, people whining, where's the snow, Paul? You going to cheat us again this winter? And then boom, like turning on a light switch. Instant snow. First the polar vortex, 3 days of real pain, and then it wouldn't stop snowing. Perfect mix of Canadian cold and southern moisture. And what's amazing is how persistent this pattern. It just got locked in. 7 weeks. Normally we have a few days of snow and then it warms up, then a few more days. But no, it was just an ongoing parade. So earlier, yesterday, Minnesota Senate Chaplain Mike Smith prepared to offer a prayer at the beginning of a floor session. Here's what that sounded like.
Today's chaplain is our Senate chaplain, Pastor Mike Smith, from Redeeming Love Church in Maplewood. And following the prayer, please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Good morning, Senators. I've been asked to pray a specific prayer, and I want you to know I believe God answers prayer in three ways. He says yes, or he says wait, or sometimes he's just silent. I was asked to pray that there'd be no more snow. And his answer to that is, wait. I believe it'll be answered within 90 days, so you can take that.
Smart man.
That's awesome.
That's fantastic.
I love that soundbite. That is so cool. Thank you very much, Chaplain Mike Smith, for those comforting words. You know, the weather just is. Storms have been pinwheeling around the planet since the dawn of time, right? Here we are, human beings. We make plans. We schedule things.
Mother Nature laughs.
We just get in the way.
Yeah.
We just get in the way. The weather is, and we make all these plans and think that the world somehow revolves around our plans and our lives. And no.
Not so much.
Doesn't quite work that way.
Not so much.
But, we'll get through this, and spring will be extra sweet. Minnesotans never, ever take nice weather for granted. Ever. And after this winter, after the last 7-8 weeks, we can be forgiven for welcoming spring with open arms. Little rain next week, some 40s next week. Dan, you're here on Monday. We'll pick up where we left off. Thanks for coming along for the ride. Catch you Monday.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.